Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, we'll be introduced to a very special person, someone who's been touching lives for Christ for over 30 years. She's known as the Jesus Lady. Next week, we're kicking off our month-long celebration of the 90th anniversary of Southwest Radio Ministries. Founded in April of 1933, Watchmen on the Wall will be celebrating 90 years of proclaiming the truth that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Please join us in the celebration. We'll be playing classic programs of the past, and we'll be sharing some very special announcements about the future of the ministry. To learn more, visit our website, swrc.com. Time to meet the Jesus Lady. Imagine the joy of seeing a child accept Christ as Savior and experience His abundant love and grace. The Jesus Lady spread that gospel and inspired the children to take the good news and her lessons to their own families and circles of friends for years to come. Here's Pastor Larry with our special guest.
There are some people who have the wonderful gift of working with young people. People so gifted can take Bible stories and make them come alive. On the phone with me is one such person. My guest is Jan Knotts, and we're talking about her book, The Jesus Lady. So let me introduce the Jesus Lady. Hello, Jan.
Hey, hello, Pastor Larry.
So good to have you on the show. I love your book. It's really a wonderful book.
Thank you. God has blessed me with being able to be a whole new person in Him and touched lives as a result, and I'm just honored to do that.
Well, your book is a wonderful collection of the Jesus Lady's most precious memories from more than 33 years of teaching the Bible Release Time program for school-aged children. So tell us, what is the Release Time program for school-aged children?
The Release Time program is offered to public school children in grades 3, 4, and 5. We're able to remove the boys and girls from the classrooms with the parents' permission.
Right.
They must sign a permission paper saying we can have them. And we take them to a nearby church off the school property, and we have them for an hour. We teach a lesson for 20 minutes. They sing songs. They have a wonderful chance to learn about Jesus and have their hearts changed. I have wonderful memories of some of the responses from boys and girls after they've accepted Christ that are heartwarming.
Right. And you did this, I believe, in Pennsylvania. Isn't that where you did this?
Yes, that's right. For 33 years, I taught 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders in our 4 elementary schools in our school district. I was blessed with teaching them about Jesus and seeing them accept Jesus.
Right. Wow. What an outreach. Now, did you always want to be a teacher and communicate with young people?
Well, I didn't. As a matter of fact, when I started with the program, I was what was called a listener, and a listener was devoted to the same 3 children, usually in each classroom, and your job was to listen to the verses that boys and girls would memorize. I was content to do that until one day the teacher needed to go in to have some throat surgery and needed somebody to cover for her. Well, I didn't want to be that bold person because I was always shy, so I... She asked if we would pray about it, and of course I prayed about it. And we went in the next week, and she says, have you been praying about it? And we said, yes. And she said, has anybody been spoken to by God that you should do this? And of course I said, nope. And she said, well, Jan, I think you'd really be good at this. I think you ought to try it. And I thought, she can't be hearing from the same God as me, because I was scared to death. The first time I stood in front of a class of boys and girls, I thought all they would see was this teacher that they had that I thought was exceptional, and they would pick me apart, but they didn't. And I got up there with the biggest calm spirit that I knew that God wanted me to teach, and I fell in love with sharing Christ with young people.
Wow.
And from then on, I was a teacher.
Well, you were a small-town girl with low self-esteem. That is no longer true. How did Jesus impact your life so that you are the warm, outgoing Jesus Lady that you are now?
It's one of the miracles He did in my life right out of the gate was He gave me a boldness for Him. I can tell you that after I was saved, I had a burning desire to tell everybody in the world about the Lord. I just needed to tell everyone. I started with my mother, who didn't want to hear it, but before she died, she was saved. I was blessed with seeing her accept Christ. So she was my first challenge. Right. For 25 years, I prayed for that sweet woman.
Right.
He sent me to the home of a person who used to babysit my little boy, and it was a burning desire to go share with this woman. This was 8 years after she used to babysit. I had this woman on my mind, and I couldn't shake it for days, and I knew God wanted me to do that. So I finally said, okay, and I hopped in my car, and I drove into York to this woman's house. And when I got there, her house was torn down, and it was a vacant lot.
Hmm.
And I thought, what was God doing with me now? Because I knew it was coming from Him. I remembered that she had a daughter that lived a block away. And so I went to the door of this woman that I hadn't seen for 8 years, and I asked her whatever happened to her mom, to her house. And she said, well, her house was torn down, but as a matter of fact, she lives in the alley behind these homes, and she's still living there. And so I went to this woman's house, and I parked in the alley, and I walked up the sidewalk to her house. And when she opened the door, she invited me in, and she had been sitting at the table with her Bible open, looking for Jesus. And God allowed me to sit with her and lead her to the Lord, and I knew from that point on that if God opened the door for me to share Him with anybody at all, I needed to act on it. 2 weeks after I got to lead this woman to the Lord, she passed away. So I went to her funeral, and I told her family she is in heaven, and this is why I know that. So I work with the urgency of knowing that if God calls me, He's got a purpose, and I need to move right ahead, and I do.
Well, He leads, He opens doors, and you are obedient, and you go through the door.
I am blessed and honored that He's called me to do it. I am.
Well, how do you know if a child can actually be saved at such a young age? I mean, how do you see if there's that willing heart, maybe ready to make a decision? Is it what they say, what they do, the look on their face, or all of the above?
Well, it is a lot of all of them. One of the lessons that I've taught the boys and girls is an illustration that they can see, because visual helps a lot with boys and girls.
And, yes.
And I've taken a glass of water, just plain old water. I dump it out of a bottle into a glass. I drink it. They know it's plain old water. And then I have a little drop of iodine, a little dropper, and I drop a drop of iodine in for every sin they tell me that they know of, that they've ever done, a little lie, a disobedience, and I would drop iodine in, and the water would get darker and darker and darker, and that they can see is their sin-filled heart that was once pure and now is not.
Right.
And after we talk about the awfulness of sin, I take and insert something into this glass of iodine water. And it's something that my husband helped me to make. It's a little inverted jelly lid with bleach inside, but they don't know there's bleach inside.
Right.
There's a little wooden cross glued to the center of that, and I take this cross with the lid, and I lower it into the water and swish it around, and the iodine is bleached away instantly. And they can see that when you ask Jesus into your heart, the sins are gone, and you're just as pure as before. They have the visual in their mind, and then I can explain to them, this is what Jesus does when we ask Him into our heart. And boys and girls are then receptive to learning about the love that God sent Jesus to us, and that we can have Him take away our sins. There was a little third grade boy that a week or so after many of the boys and girls had accepted Christ through that lesson, I asked them, what did they see different in their life now that Jesus lived there? And this third grade little boy said, now when I pray, there's a tear. And I knew his salvation was so genuine, and he was a third grade boy. I had a gift one time from a little girl who made me a necklace with little beads on a string, little colored beads and one little pink heart, and she gave it to me. And she said, I wanted to give you this. I made it right after I prayed with my daddy to ask Jesus into his heart so that you would know that his heart now belongs to Jesus. That's the power of God in these children. It's genuine.
Wow. Yeah, I would say so. And, you know, it seems like So many times when we work with children, there are problems with holding their attention. Sometimes there are discipline problems, but you don't seem to have that kind of a problem. Are you just so magnetic that when you're there, when you talk, when you teach, they cut their eyes and ears open? Is that how you do it?
It is exactly what happens. I sit on the floor with the boys and girls. I couldn't do it very well now at 76, but I did. I would sit on the floor with the boys and girls. They would sit on the floor in front of me, and I would keep eye contact, and I would want them to ask me questions if they had questions. We were hands-on. As a matter of fact, some of the third graders would sit and follow the veins in my hands, hold my hands while I talked to them. That's how close we were. We kept eye contact, and I really cared about every question they had, and I wanted to explain everything to them. So we just grew to love each other and love Jesus more.
Wow. So you did that for 33 years, so you probably impacted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people.
Well, I was probably averaging teaching about 100 children each year because I taught in four different schools, and some of them had as few as 20 or as many as 40 kids in each of the classes. Many of them accepted Christ, and I was blessed beyond words.
Wow. With all of the animosity against Christianity right now, I mean, we hear wokeism, progressivism, Christianity is supposedly a hate religion. Is there still that openness? Is there that the shared time, release time still available throughout the United States?
There absolutely is.
Wow.
I know predominantly it's up in the Northeast, I imagine, mostly, but it's available to any school who would want to have that happen. I've thought often about if Florida would ever want to go into something like that, I would go out and help to start these programs.
Right.
It takes the interest of parents wanting to have their children have that. And there are state laws that say if a parent wants their child to be able to have religious instruction through school time, the public schools have to allow that.
Wow.
So it just takes willing people to volunteer. All of my 33 years were volunteer work years. Everybody's time was volunteered, and it just takes people that love Jesus and want to share.
All of this, dear friends, is in the book, The Jesus Lady by Jan Knotts, and our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. There are many, many stories, personal, hands-on experiences that will be a blessing to you and probably will be a great help to you, maybe even a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you want to try to do what Jan did. It's obvious that our young people need Jesus Christ more than ever before. So once again, the title of the book, The Jesus Lady, 1-800-652-1144. Now, Jan, how did the title Jesus Lady come about?
That's a story in itself. When we moved down to Florida 4 years ago, the one thing that had to happen is I had to give up teaching these boys and girls that I had been so involved with. But I realized that God just changed my position. Instead of teaching children, I saw a world of older people down here that also needed Jesus. And the name came about as I started to minister to older people. I had met a man outside of a bank here that had driven over to the outside bank on a little motorized cart, a little motorized chair to do his banking. And he was very feeble. And after I was done with mine, I saw this man trying to get off his little scooter and go over to the bank. And I got out of the car and asked if I could help him. And he said, oh, no, I should be okay. And I helped him get off his scooter, and he went up to the quick bank. Well, he was having some trouble, so he motioned to me because I was still in the car. He said, well, maybe I could use help. And so I went over and I helped him get money out of his bank. He was trying to get out $100 bills, enough to get his golf cart out of service. You could only get a couple hundred at a time, so I helped him, and he kept getting money out and handing it to me. And then he says, could you help me count it? And I thought, I must look honest enough, yes. So I sat him in my car on the passenger seat, and I was behind the wheel, and I counted out his money and told him how much he had, and he was good. And then I said, you know, have you always been in this bad health? And he said, no, it's just gotten worse as he got older, and he didn't know why he had to live like that. And I said, well, you know that if you died tonight, do you know if you would go to heaven? And he said, Well, no, I don't think so. And so I talked to him, and I was able to lead him to the Lord in my car, and I was so rejoicing. And I said, you must live close by because you came in on this cart. And he said, oh, yes, I live right back in these houses. Well, these houses are where I lived. So I found out he lived in here. I got his name and address. A couple days later, I was going to stop by and give him something, and I saw him motoring on the street going the other way. So I turned around, and I went back, and I said, hey, Paul, do you remember me? And he said, oh, yes, you're the Jesus lady. And I felt so honored. I said, well, yes, I guess I am. And that's how the name came about. He saw me as the representative of Jesus, and I am so thrilled to be his representative.
Right. I'm looking through the book, and I see you have a section on memorization. It says, the goal of Bible release time has always been to reach a child for the Lord and then teach them to love God's Word. Scripture memorization is vitally important. They learn that is their most powerful weapon against the devil as they travel through this life. How do you teach kids Bible memory?
Well, we take a Bible verse and we teach them where it's found in the Bible. They have to know where the books are. We start with the contents. We find the book of the Bible and the chapter and the verse, and then we go over them. And I explain a verse to them, like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I read it to them, we break it down, and I help them to understand it. They get points not only for memorizing, but they got points for if they could find it in the Bible and if they could explain what it meant. So it's not just memorizing words, it's memorizing what God wants them to get out of it. So it's threefold, and they memorize verses for points, they get prizes, they can get free camp. So there's rewards for memorization and understanding.
From talking with you, I think you have a way of sharing Christ. And it seems to me that the way you do it, it's not overbearing. It's just natural. And I think that's so wonderful. You know, people can know if you're trying to pigeonhole them or push them into a corner and they don't like it. What are some of the key ideas, maybe? Is it just your smile, your personality? Tell us how we might be able to follow in your footsteps.
I think it is just allowing God to totally move me out of the way and to shine through. At the times when I feel the least capable, he comes through and does dynamic things because I am void of myself and 100% him. The kids know that. They know there's no pretense. It's just because I love him so much, I want them to know him. Genuineness is what it's all about. And if I love Jesus, they're going to see it.
Right.
And they're going to want that.
Right.
You can't fool a child.
We've been visiting with Jan Knott. She is the author of The Jesus Lady. Our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144. Jan, what a great blessing. You just warmed my heart, and I'm sure many of the listeners have had their hearts warmed as well.
I pray God is real, real pleased with my book and with my love for him.
Our brand new book, The Jesus Lady, shares stories and treasured memories from more than 33 years of Jan Knott's teaching in the Bible Release Time program for school-aged children. The stories are endless and sweet. Take this heart-to-heart journey with the Jesus Lady, and don't be surprised if you look at the Word and the world a little differently afterward. Order The Jesus Lady when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order online, swrc.com. Now, let's head back into the studio and join staff evangelist Josh Davis as he shares some encouragement from God's Word.
It was revival, it was not revival. That is not the question. Please forgive my Shakespearean tone. You can tell I'm not an actor. But I am talking about what happened recently at Asbury University. The internet is filled with Christian opinions on the legitimacy and the lasting impact of this spontaneous two-week church service. What began as an ordinary chapel service turned into a pilgrimage for thousands of Christians. And I continue to see reports about similar stirrings in various schools and churches, even to this present day. I could add my 2 cents to the pile of perspectives on Asbury. And I find it funny that the day after a big ball game, every fan is a much better coach than the guy that's getting paid the big bucks to actually coach the team. Our culture loves to comment on everything. Social media, blogs, YouTube have given a voice to anyone with an internet connection. I'm not arguing that that's a bad thing. In fact, I wasn't able to go in person to Asbury University, so I had to rely on all the above to give me a glimpse into what really happened at Asbury. I watched student testimonies. I read articles, blogs, social media posts. I even sprinkled in a couple of opinion videos for eyewitnesses for good measure. But the big question still remains. Was what happened at Asbury University a legitimate revival? Skeptics and supporters are volleying that big question back and forth with each other. However, I do not believe that's the right question to be asking at this point. The term revival is defined differently by many different groups. It's almost like the terms Christian or evangelical. The college that I received my bachelor's degree from marketed itself as a Christ-centered college. They're associated with a historically evangelical denomination, and during my 4 years there, I realized that they had a vastly different definition of evangelical and Christ-centered than I first assumed. And America's favorite pastime is quickly becoming jumping to conclusions. We assume that we understand what someone means when they use terms like revival. So to understand what someone else is trying to communicate, we must first ask, how do you define revival? Failing to ask these kinds of questions reveals our impatience, really, because we are unwilling to understand someone else's perspective. So instead of understanding them, we argue back and forth using our assumptions, and ultimately we accomplish a whole lot of nothing for the kingdom of God. So to help us answer this crucial question, we must ask, what does the Bible have to say about revival? You and I can define what we mean about revival all day long, but if we don't understand what God has said about it, we could be completely wrong and not even know it. The truth is, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about revival or awakenings. In fact, the New Testament never uses the word revive or revival. And that in and of itself should be a lesson to us. We must emphasize what the Bible emphasizes. So we learn this important lesson. Revival is never an end that we are commanded to seek. It's the means to an end. The end that we have to seek is Jesus. Revival is simply the process that leads us to seek Jesus and to walk with Him like never before. Any movement that does not leave us closer to Jesus as a result is simply not of God. Revivals and awakenings occur throughout the Scripture, even though the terminology revival is rarely used. Like, for instance, when Josiah discovered the abandoned scriptures, God moved in a mighty way. When Jonah reluctantly preached at Nineveh, God moved in a mighty way. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus calls out the church at Ephesus for leaving their first love. He urges them to repent. So by definition, the word revival means to bring back to life. And strictly speaking, revival is for the saved who have grown cold or distracted from Jesus. Revival is not for the unsaved. An awakening is a great move of God in which many sinners are converted. So I am very encouraged to hear many testimonies of young people in numerous locations across America who are drawing closer to Jesus during this season. As with any move of God, some people are going to miss it. Some people are going to misunderstand it. I praise God for every single person who has experienced a deep move of Jesus in their hearts. And I feel like I have a unique perspective to provide some insight into these things. I grew up in a Christian school, and I sat through some very powerful chapel services. In middle school and high school especially, there were moments when students would stay after chapel. Sometimes they were praising God, sometimes they were praying, sometimes they were weeping. But sadly, I don't remember much lasting life change as a result. Most of my classmates were back to their same old self by the end of the day. I don't share this to dump a bucket of cold water on what's happening on campuses and in churches across the country. However, I share it as a cautionary tale. Real revival should produce real life change as we repent of sin and we walk in greater obedience to Jesus. It was almost exactly 10 years ago, God specifically burdened my heart to begin seeking Him in revival praying. I could take you right to the exact spot where I was when I knew that He was calling me to seek Him in this manner. And over the last 10 years, God has done a mighty work, not invisible metrics that we tend to associate with the term revival. Yet again, I testify to you, He has done a mighty work. Sometimes we pray for revival because we want to see a change in our circumstances. We want to see our church enter a season of growth. We want to see young people on fire for God and not follow the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those may be byproducts of a real move of God, but that is not revival. God's mighty work over the last 10 years did not primarily involve changing my circumstances. Instead, He changed me from the inside out in my circumstances. And as He drew me closer and closer and closer to Himself, He stripped away sinful attitudes and He replaced them with a deeper hunger to know Him more. So I can testify to you today, I've experienced personal revival, and you can too. Allow Jesus to do the deep work in your heart to remove your sinful attitudes and actions and replace them with His powerful truth.
Our brand new book, The Jesus Lady, shares stories and treasured memories from more than 33 years of Jan Knott's teaching in the Bible Release Time program for school-aged children. The stories are endless and sweet. Take this heart-to-heart journey with the Jesus Lady, and don't be surprised if you look at the Word and the world a little differently afterward. Order your copy of The Jesus Lady when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or visit our website, swrc.com. Tomorrow, Dr. Carl Baugh will share how you and I can have an eternal impact in the South Pacific. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.